We're winding down our study, Tidbits in Timothy. And let's read, starting at verse 3, let's just read through the entire chapter here. Starting at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the ability to open up your word in a public setting today and look at it and glean from it that which you would have for us. And I pray that you would help us, Lord God, as we study your word this morning, that you would give each and every one of us something from your word that we can take home, something, Lord God, that we can sink our teeth into, something, Lord God, that would even challenge our thinking and change our lives for the better, to be more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's in his name that we ask your blessing. Amen. All right, we've started this last week, and we take as our theme for the chapter verse 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. We're taking as our theme for the chapter: flee, follow, and fight. Flee, follow, and fight. There are some things that we need to flee from, not because we're scared of it, but because we realize that we can't even mess around with it. We realize that the longer we stay around it, that it's going to corrupt us. The longer we stay around it, the more likely we are to fall into that sin. The Bible says things like, flee what? Flee youthful lusts. The Bible says things like, Paul told the Thessalonians, flee fornication. Don't even mess around. Joseph, when Potiphar's wife grabbed him by the coat, he fled. He took his coat off and said, you can have it. I'm out of here. He fled. Not because he was afraid, but because he realized there are some temptations. There are some things that you don't even want to mess around with. The story is told of the little boy that in the middle of the night was standing in front of the refrigerator with the refrigerator door open and just standing there and his mother came into the kitchen and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm fighting temptation. I'm fighting temptation." No, sometimes you got to flee. There are things we have to flee, not because we're afraid of them, but because we just don't even, we don't want to get corrupted by it. And there are things we have to follow, and we talk about that. And there are things that we actually, rather than fleeing, we stand up to and fight. We fight for the faith, and we fight against certain things. Flee, follow, and fight. Flee, follow, and fight. We talked about, we began down that road last week, and we talked about mainly false doctrine last week. We're to flee false teachers. It says, mark them and avoid them. We're not trying to engage in a dialogue with them. We're to get away from them. We're to flee false teachers. We're to follow right doctrine, wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to fight against certain false doctrines. The bulk of the chapter really has to do with finances and our attitude toward money. And so let's talk about flee, follow, and fight in that context. We're to flee the temptations of money and materialism. And that's mainly what Paul has in mind in verse 11 when he says, flee these things, tells Timothy, flee these things. You're a man of God. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. We're to flee the temptations of money and materialism. We're to follow after contentment. He says in verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. We're to follow after contentment, being content, and having our food and raiment. Let us be therewith content. We'll talk more about contentment probably next week, Lord willing. But we need to fight the lies about filthy mammon. We need to fight the lies. Let's talk about that. And I give you all three of these because it's so closely tied together, what we need to flee, what we need to follow, and what we need to fight. So let's talk about that. And let me say this. This might be a eureka moment for some people. This might be a real help for some people. If you never realized this before, temptation is always linked to a lie. Temptation. Think about the very first temptation, the temptation of Eve in the garden. It was linked to a lie. Temptation is always linked to a lie. If we can identify the lies and fight against the lies, then we're able to overcome the temptation. Temptation is always linked to a lie. Let me ask you this. So we read the chapter. If you were following along, you saw that the bulk of the chapter was about money, materialism, financial possessions, and so forth. What are the lies and false ideas about money that tempt us? Brother Chris.
If I had more money, I could help more people.
If I had more money, I could help more people. That's one lie. Put it a different way. Put it the way a selfish person would say it.
If you ain't helping people now, you ain't gonna help you when you have more money.
Okay. What would the selfish person say? If I had more money, I'd be happier. If I had more money, I'd be happier. So Chris says, if you're not helping people with the money that you have right now, you're not going to help people with more. What you say? If I had more money, I'd be more happy. In fact, that's the first one that I gave you. I'd be happier with more money. Let me lay this out for you. Common sense even dispels, I don't even need to go to the Bible for this. Common sense dispels this. Every single person in this room, the poorest person in this room, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, you know who you are, I don't know who you are, but you probably know who you are. The poorest person in this room is in the top 3% of wealth worldwide. Poorest person in America is in the top 3% of wealth worldwide. Do you think Americans are in the top 3% of happiness worldwide? There are people living in thatch huts in the Kalahari Desert that are happier than most Americans. They possess one spoon, each person possesses one spoon, one bowl, and one loincloth. And happier than most Americans. If you're in the top 3%
of wealth worldwide, but you're not in the top 3% of happiness, what makes you think that having more would make you happier? Brother Adam. Right, right. That's a very interesting point. If you look at lottery winners, Powerball winners, person after person after person has had a ruined life. There are lottery winners that say, "I wish I had torn up the ticket." Of course, they don't wish they never bought it. I don't see it. But look up a name. Look up. Write this name down if you don't believe me. Look up Jack Whitaker. Jack Whitaker. When he won the Powerball, it was the biggest Powerball win ever. And he was already wealthy. He owned a construction company. He was already wealthy. But write that name down. Look him up. Jack Whitaker. It absolutely ruined his life. And he's not the only one. When you look him up, you'll actually find links to people after people after people that winning the Powerball ruined their life. Absolutely ruined their life. Here's a lie. I'd be happier with more money. No, you wouldn't. If you're not happy with what you got, you're not going to be happy with more. There's a lie. I'd have more friends if I had more money. What happened to the prodigal son? Didn't he have friends? He got some money, and he went and spent his money on riotous living. And he had what he thought were friends. But then when he was broke, guess what? How many friends did he have? Zero. So were they really his friends? It's like the old song, "Nobody knows you when you're down and out." What's another lie? Another lie about money. What's another lie?
If I had more money, I'd give it to the church.
If I had more money, I'd give it to the church. I'd help more people. You know, Goodness, what are you doing with what you got right now? Here's a lie I came up with. I said I'd be happier with more money. What about I'd be happier with more stuff? Isn't that really what most of us mean? Yeah. Isn't that really what most of us mean? Most of us aren't really crazy about the money. We're crazy about the stuff the money can get for us. That's really what we're not like Scrooge McDuck. You remember Uncle Scrooge McDuck? He was in love with the money. He rolled around and he had a room full of money. He rolled around in it. He kept the coins on his desk just to have them on his desk. He wouldn't spend it on anything. He was miserly. He wouldn't spend it on, because he didn't want the stuff. He wanted the money. That's not most of us. Most of us, when we say we want more money, what we mean is we really want more stuff. I got more. Like Ray said, I got stuff now I wish I didn't have.
Oh.
What's that? Yeah, we're having a garage sale, Brother Gary. Yeah, and that's a lie we tell ourselves. What's more lies? More lies about money. Mrs. Tiggis.
Well, I just think of that Carson Kelly and how money brought him into the limelight this past week. He put up a sign at a football game, you know, buying a couple of beers or something, thousands came in. I don't know, I think it might have been 2 million. And so he decided to donate it to the University of Iowa Hospitals, Children's Hospital.
So there's a way to flee the temptation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and long story short, the journalist got fired, because he made a comment 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But it didn't bring Carson Kelly or Carson King to the gap.
Whoever it was.
Brother,
Brother Ray.
People dream of having people wait hand and foot on if they had more money. Didn't have to do nothing themselves.
If I had more money, I could be lazy. How about this one? Here's a lie. there's an easy way to get rich. Talk about the Powerball or gambling or get-rich-quick schemes. Here's a lie. There's an easy way to get rich. Do you realize? You realize how I'm a student of con games and con artists. Do you realize how con games, confidence games, actually work? They work on the victim's greed. If the victim wasn't trying to get something for nothing, the con game wouldn't work. If the victim wasn't greedy, if the victim wasn't trying to work a system, the con game wouldn't work. They wouldn't be victimized. That's how con games work, by and large, for the most part. The idea, there's an easy way to get rich. My ship's going to come in. My uncle had a hat that said, with my luck, when my ship comes in, I'll be waiting at the airport. But the idea that somehow through some stroke of luck or through some very easy methodology, they advertise it on the radio, the work from home, they advertise in the paper, the work from home schemes and all this. So I can get rich easily. Yeah. That's a lie. That's a lie. It's not going to happen. And listen, we'll look at some verses about that, but that's a lie. There's an easy way to get rich. Here's one. I can get ahead by dishonesty. Here's a lie. It might look for a little while like you're getting ahead, but was it R.G. Lee that used to preach payday someday? Sooner or later, you're going to pay the piper. Here's a lie. I can't afford to tithe, give to missions, give extra, share, help people out. I can't afford to do that. I'm not going to preach on tithing, but if I did, I could sum it up this way. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. If you look at the blessings and the curses associated with making sure that God comes first in your life, including in your wallet, you can't afford not to. Brother Rankin. Yep. So here's a lie. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be prosperous financially. For some people, that's God's plan. That's not God's plan for every Christian. Mrs. Tigges.
One lie that I heard this past week was, it will bring financial security. And there's no security apart from the Lord.
There's no security apart from the Lord. That money equals security. What other lies are there? Brother Adam.
I know the Bible says all these things about money and materialism, the love of money and materialism, but it doesn't apply to me.
Oh, and that's a lie about anything, not just finances, but I know what the Bible says, but this situation, that situation, or my personal case, I know what the Bible says. Here's one. Here's a lie. I need to borrow so I can build up my credit. That's a lie. That's a lie. Why do you want to build up your credit? And I'm not saying don't pay your bills. I'm not saying you need to have a lousy credit score because you didn't pay your bills. I'm not saying that at all. But a good credit score, the Bible says a borrower is servant or slave to the lender. A good credit score is just an indication of how good of a slave you are.
Yeah.
A higher credit score just means you're more qualified to borrow more. If you can pay for it, after you bought it, you can save up before you bought it and pay for it. When I was about 4 years old, I engaged in my first commercial transaction. I don't know what I was buying. It was a couple bucks, and I had a couple bucks. We were at Venture. Anybody remember Venture stores? We were at Venture. I was just with my dad, for some reason, alone with my dad. Might have been buying my brother a birthday present or something. I don't know. And I went through the line. I put it on the conveyor belt. I went through, and the lady... she picked it up and she punched it in the register. They didn't scan back then. She punched it in the register. They didn't have the lasers and barcodes and everything. And she looked at me. I'm 4 years old. She looks down at me and she says, "Will this be cash or credit?" Two words I'd never heard before. cash or credit. I knew what money was. And so I looked at my dad. He could tell I didn't understand. And he explained, do you want to pay for it now or pay for it later? I was like, I didn't know I had a choice. You know, I'll pay for it later. Who wouldn't choose that? That's four-year-old thinking. If that's still your thinking today, you're financially a four-year-old. That's four-year-old thinking. How about this? God wants me to be rich and prosperous. That's what some people said. If you look in 1 Timothy, that's what some teachers were saying in middle of verse 5, supposing that gain is godliness. Your spiritual state can be measured by how much God has blessed you financially. Aren't there people who are teaching that today? In the Pentecostal circles, that is big. Charismatic and Pentecostal churches, that's what it's all about. That's what these, Brother Rankin mentioned, the TV preachers. That's what, we could go down the list and name them, whether it's Creflo Dollar, Joel Osteen, all these Pentecostal preachers. I can't even think of all their names. Oral Roberts, he's not around anymore, but that's what he taught, and that's what all these that follow after. Notice how the Bible describes people that teach that. Notice how the Bible describes verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. Watch this. Perverse, twisted disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. That's interesting to me. It says, those that teach that are destitute of the truth. If you notice, those that teach that don't even teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have a counterfeit gospel. They're destitute of the truth. So here are some lies. Well, let's combat these lies. Let's flee the temptation. Let's follow contentment and fight the lies. Let's look at some scriptures, and we'll come back to 1 Timothy 6, but let's look at Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Let's look at verse 4 first. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Isn't that our wisdom? I should try to get richer. Here's our wisdom. I'd be happier with more money. I'd be happier with more stuff. There's an easy way to get rich. I can get ahead by dishonesty. I can't afford to tithe. I need to borrow so I can, God wants me to be rich and prosperous. Knock it off! Cease from thine own wisdom. It's nonsense. Labor not to be rich. Does that mean I shouldn't work hard? No, it doesn't mean that at all. I should work hard. I work as unto the Lord and not unto men. As unto the Lord and not unto my wall. I work hard. I try to advance myself. And by the way, breadwinners in the home, you have a work in the home as well to bring home an income. So this verse doesn't mean don't try to get a better job, because working hard in the home means you try to get a better job, but labor not to be rich. Your motivation should not be to get rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Let me apply this here. Here's another lie is that I did it. I, by my labor, I got it, and by my labor, I got to get more. No, by the grace of God, you got it. By the grace of God, you have the job that you have right now. By the grace of God, you have the income that you have right now. And if you forget that, here's what you're going to be tempted to do. I need more, so I'm going to work. I'm going to let my work take me out of church. Don't forget the God that gave you the job. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Stop thinking about these lies. Stop following these lies. Look at verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Are you going to focus on something that's never going to happen? Are you really going to set your focus on trying to be rich and it's never, are you really going to focus on something that's never going to happen? And even if it does happen, it's not going to last long. That's what verse 5 says. Summary. Are you going to set your eyes on that which is not? Are you going to, I used to daydream about hitting it big, you know, somehow hitting it big. And this is the verse that when I'm tempted to daydream about that I quote to myself, wilt thou set thine eyes on that which is not? Am I really going to waste my time? Am I really going to waste my energy? Am I really going to set my focus on something that's never going to happen? And if it does happen, if I do hit it big, the money's going to grow wings and fly away. You can jump in and comment anytime. Brother Gary. Right.
But the principle is every man is given his portion of wealth. So I'm exactly as rich as my king came from.
Oh, amen. Amen. Brother Ray.
Yeah, you know, the whole world has got the wrong attitude of things. You used to buy something, you'd find the price of it. Now, how much can you afford a week?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't even ask you to tell you what it is. Just how much can you afford a
week? Right. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. Here's the thou shalt not gamble verse. You say, well, why can't I gamble? The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not gamble. Here's the thou shalt not gamble verse. Verse 11, Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. You get rich in a get rich quick scheme, you're not going to stay rich. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. That's not the only thou shalt not gamble verse, but that's one of them. Let's go to Jeremiah 17, and we'll come back to Proverbs, but go to Jeremiah. What are we doing? Here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to answer all of these lies and any other lies that you hold on to about money. Jeremiah 17, verse 11. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. That almost sounds like it belongs over in Proverbs. Let's go back to Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. What's the Bible say about credit? It's right there. And I don't want to get into the, you know, there's all kinds of things people have to say about credit when you start talking about it, and we don't need to discuss that here this morning. But chances are, probably the way that most of us think about credit is a lie. Some of the best arguments, I can't make them, some of the best arguments against being a borrower, being in constant debt, are made by Dave Ramsey. If you get some of his material, we don't agree with, of course, everything Dave Ramsey has to say, but on money, on credit, he's very solid. Come back to 1 Timothy 6, and let's just go through the chapter, and let's look at a couple of things. Here with that, I want to give you that background from the rest of the Bible. Wisdom about money, and then we understand now why Paul can say some of the things he says. And we'll skip contentment because we'll talk about that more next week. But look at verse 9, 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich, let me stop right here. That word will, that's the personal will, that's the personal desire. He's not talking about anybody that gets rich. Because if God wants you to be rich, you'll be rich. He's talking about they that desire to be rich. They that labor to be rich, that didn't cease from their own wisdom. They that desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Isn't that... They did a study. And who remembers the crack cocaine epidemic of the 80s and early 90s? It was in the magazines, it was in the newspapers, it was a nationwide epidemic of crack cocaine, people ruining their lives with crack cocaine. It was a scourge of our nation for a number of years. They did a study. Gambling addiction has ruined more lives than crack cocaine. Gambling addiction has split up more marriages. Gambling addiction has caused more people to embezzle money from their job than crack cocaine. Gambling addiction has sent more children to family services than crack cocaine. Did you know that? Because when they say we're going to build a casino and the money's going to go to some noble cause, they don't ever tell you that part. Isn't that crazy? They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. What's that mean? Money's the root of all evil. No, you misquoted it. The love of money is at the root. It's fundamental. It's basic. At the root of, what's that mean? All evil, every kind of evil that you can name, at the root of it is the love of money, which, verse 10, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Do you realize the love of money will take you away from the Christian faith? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, woe is me. Look at the trouble I've got. Did you do it yourself? Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Brother Adam.
And that itself is a lie. Money is evil, because Proverbs chapter 30 says, remove far from me vanity and lies, giving me neither poverty, which would suggest that money itself is evil, nor riches, feed you with food coming in for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord?
Give me neither poverty nor riches. Money. It's not money that's evil. It's the love of money that's evil. It's the love of money that's evil. Go down to verse 17. Charge them. That charge means command. Command them that are rich in this world. So wait a minute. So he said, don't try to be rich. But then he's recognized there are Christians that are rich. And he doesn't say, shame on them. You know, that's our modern society. Shame on the rich. Shame on the 1%. That's the 3% saying shame on the 1%. He doesn't say shame on them, but he does have a commandment for them, that they be not high-minded. Have you noticed some rich people look down on those that aren't? And then even among the rich people, old money looks down on the new money. The people that they're rich because their great, 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 great grandfather was rich looks down on the one who's rich because daddy got rich. Be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. That's what Mrs. Tiggis said. Some people think money is your security. What's it called riches in that verse? nor trust in uncertain riches. Money cannot be your security because money will not always be there. By the way, money will not always be worth something. During the Depression, do you know one of the causes that led into Germany starting World War II? People were taking wheelbarrows full of Deutschmarks down to the grocery store to buy one loaf of bread. Money will not always be worth something. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust where? In the living God. Look at this play on words. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He richly gives to us. Don't trust in your riches. Trust in God who richly gives to us. He gives us things to enjoy. Things that we really can enjoy. Not like the trinkets that our money buys. Watch what else he tells the rich people, verse 18. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate, willing to share. Flee. There's things we got to flee. We got to flee the temptation for money and material things. And flee the temptation for riches. Cease from thine own wisdom. Work hard. If God makes you rich, then praise the Lord for it and use the money wisely. Don't trust in it, though. We got to follow contentment. We'll talk more about contentment next week and have a lesson about contentment. But we got to fight. We got to fight these lies that we tell ourselves, that others tell us, that the world tells us, the lies we grew up believing, the lies society has impressed upon us as we grew up. We got to fight these lies. It's so much of our thinking about money is just completely upside down. Got to fight these lies. Let's just talk about flee for just a minute. Got a couple of minutes. Give me some situations. Give me concrete situations, examples in your life or in the life of something you notice. What kinds of situations should you flee the temptations of money and materialism? When and how should you flee? Brother Adam.
When you hear about a business opportunity that says, if you just get three and they get three, and then those people get three, and you have this massive pyramid.
So here's a get-rich-quick scheme. Of course, the biggest one is Amway, but there are others just exactly like it. It's a get-rich-quick scheme. When you hear about a get-rich-quick scheme, flee. What else? When should you flee? Or what should you not do? You know, I don't do a lot of window shopping. Why? Because I'll end up buying something. I don't go to the Cadillac lot and look at Cadillacs. I'm not looking for a new Lincoln. I take my 24-year-old Lincoln and my 25-year-old Lincoln and trade them both in on a 20-year-old Lincoln. But flee. When should you flee? When else should you flee? I get these emails. Big sale going on now. And it's something that would tempt me. And before I even open the email, I see the subject about, you know, big sale. And I'm like, I don't have the money for that right now. Delete before I even look at it. What's that called? That's a simple example. That's flee. That's flee temptation. Before I even look at it. Flee. When should you flee?
Right away.
Right away. Amen. What are some situations you should flee? Miss Gail. Loaning money. This is not Bible, this is Shakespeare, neither a borrower nor a lender be. But it's good advice. Let me say this. Be ready to share, but if you can't afford to give the money away, then you can't afford to loan it. about co-signing a loan. Bible says not to do it. Bible says not to do it. Huh? Well, you look up the word surety or suretyship, and you'll see the verses on that. I can't quote them off the top of my head. He that is surety for a friend shall smart for it. That's one verse. Brother Adam.
I believe when you see 0% APR for 12 months, because that 12 months, if I had a lot of time, and they're banking on you, running that
right
up the road, and then guess what?
Here's what you got to understand about credit or even gambling, the same thing. The system is designed for the house to win. The creditor doesn't do that because they're going to lose money. And you're going to make, the lender does that because it's good for them. Mail-in rebates. I take advantage of mail-in rebates as often as I can, but I don't buy something just because it has a mail-in rebate, because there's always a catch. Used to be when they first started mail-in rebates, half the time you never even got it. Because say like you'll get it in 6 months. Well, 6 months later, you've forgotten about it. And that's what they're counting on, is so many people are going to forget about it. They set it up in such a way that it benefits them. It's not to benefit you. Oh, look at the great offer they're giving me. How great they are. How nice they are. It's a business. It's there to make money. That's why it exists. That great offer is to make money off of you. Take advantage of deals that are smart, but realize most deals you think are smart aren't as smart as you think. Brother Ray.
I had a deal replacing some windows, and the price of the windows was outrageous. Oh, they said, we're giving you 6 months or 60 months to pay them off. I said, I don't want to do it that way. You know, I bought the windows for less than half price.
Amen. Flee. When should you flee? One or two more minutes. When should you flee? What are situations to flee? We're all suckers. We all fall for everything. Gail?
I think of Joseph, where you're being in the wrong place, the wrong time, with the wrong person.
And when you find yourself in that situation, he fled and got him out. All right. Well, I thought there'd be more answers to this. I thought we could draw on your wisdom, but nobody wants to confess to the mistakes they've made, I guess. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for our time in Sunday school this morning. And I do pray that you would make us wise about money and material possessions, Lord God. Father, that we would look to you for our provision and for our help in every way. And now, bless the services today, guide and direct. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day with the Lord's people. Lord, help us to take advantage of that opportunity, and that you would guide and direct and bless in every way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.